This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
All this has happened before.
Hey kids, Townsend Coleman here, the voice of Michelangelo from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Tom Kane, this is the voice of Yoda on Star Wars.
Hey yo, it's Wopat, and a big yee-haw to you all. I used to be Luke too.
Hi, my name is Oli Shoshan. I play Jedi Master Shakti.
Hi, Butch Patrick here, Eddie Munster.
Hi, this is Jim.
Hi, this is Bill Farmer. You're listening to the Neverland Podcast.
Welcome to Neverland, to Disney and beyond.
And it will all happen again.
And now your head lost boy, the Spider-Pan.
Walk on the eyes, it is Pan.
Jeremy.
Hooray for
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders. And, of course, there's Philip miming the whole thing again. Sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Think that happiest thought. And let's fly away to Neverland. And yes, as I mentioned, Lost Boy Phil is here with me.
Hello!
And I brought my good microphone around, although we're still filming down in instead of my studio in the basement. So the sound quality is probably different. You probably noticed. Some of you probably wouldn't have noticed. We've recorded in here quite a few times.
Mm-hmm, you now, bet.
So people are probably forgetting what it sounds like when I record from my studio. But if you'd like to know what it sounds like when I record from my, well, I call it a studio, but it's also my game room, kind of my study. I don't know. It's not a man cave. I'm trying to not have it be a man cave, but I guess it is.
It's a Lost Boy cave.
It's a pirate cave that I've taken over.
That's right.
That's for sure. Because I do have a lot of my toys and my decorations, and I do have my PlayStation, and you know, that's where I play games on the computer. That's all I do. I did a lot of work in there, and I get the show together. But if you want to hear what I sound like normally from my studio, I will later today. There's a podcast. It's like Mercury Theater Podcast. They do audio dramas. Later today, I will be recording with them. I'm playing a character named Douglas in an upcoming episode. They do like radio drama on this. I've joined a website that's for like voice acting and everything. I'm not getting paid for this one, but there are some paying jobs on there, but I'm going to build some credentials.
There you go.
And, you know, work my way up into that. I learned this from Wiley. We call him Wiley Coyote because that's what he kind of goes by. But Wiley Botcher that I went to school with, and he has actually broken out in some stuff. He's gotten to do some games and lots of different things.
Awesome.
But he's also gotten to do some parody things through this, like some SpongeBob parody. He's doing a voice of SpongeBob in some sort of kind of a parody type of thing. So it's really worked out well for Wiley, so I thought I would jump in there and do it myself. So I will be doing that later. So if y'all will check out that podcast and be looking for an upcoming episode, it's one having to do with like a circus bears.
Huh.
And my character, how I end up getting the role, and what the guy who was directing this is that I had a very realistic sneeze on my audition tape for the guy sneezing. He's supposed to be allergic to bears. So, and he like, yeah, thought that sounded real. So, okay. He says, you know how hard it is for people to do a sneeze? I'm like, I know what a sneeze sounds like. Because when I sneeze intensely, when I sneeze, you know, and usually if I really had to sneeze, something will come flying out. I warn you now, duck. You know, there's a reason why people make me wear my mask.
Duck
so
and take cover.
Yeah, indeed. So other things going on, though, this week. This was kind of a fun story, and I like to share fun stories. So as regular listeners know that are all current, and I say that for a reason, I started working with LifeTouch, and which has been bought by Shutterfly, so where I'm doing school portraits this year, which has been fun, I got to say. I mean, I'd rather be back in on the radio, but I am having a lot of fun with this, especially I got to do some pre-K kids, little kids. Well, one of our passwords, how we remember it, is, you know, little kids smile cheesy, or little people smile cheesy, or cool or cute, whatever you want to call it, because they do.
Yeah,
they have the cutest little goofy, teethy smiles, little people. I love them. They're adorable. Love them to death. So I'm having a lot of fun with that. But anyways, one of my coworkers, I'm going to call her out. Hi, Hannah. We were talking to some podcasts. She likes to listen to a lot of crime podcasts, but she was asked if I'd recommend any Disney podcasts. And guess what the first show I mentioned was?
I wonder.
And she says, oh, yeah, I listened to that one. And I pointed at myself going, that's me.
Yeah.
She's like, that's you. I said, that's me.
That's now, awesome.
She's not current, though. She's like, she said the last, because she hasn't got a chance to, she's falling behind on a lot of her shows that she's discovered.
That's awesome.
And she probably, because I know a lot of people, when they discover a podcast, they might listen to a new one and say, wow, I really like it. And they'll go back to the beginning and they want to listen to everything, which is cool. But when you go back to the beginning, you're gonna hear where I wasn't very good at this. So I warn you now, if you go and do that, it's not going to be good for a while. I don't know at what point I got good at this, okay? So, but she was at an episode, the last one she got to listen to was where the title of it is The Hobbits Are Going to Disneyland. And so just to put it in placement of where that's at, that's episode 194. That was when that Tolkien movie came out.
That was a while back.
That's a while ago. So.
So what year was that, like 2000?
It was probably 2018 at least.
No. That was the 2000. That was a... 2000 and because I was just starting to lose weight, so it was like 2014, 2000.
It wasn't that long ago. I wasn't going, and I mean 2014.
Oh, I was thinking
this
of
is episode 194. So I mean, that's about halfway. I'm thinking
Hobbit.
You're thinking of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I'm
or
sorry.
The Hobbit films.
I was thinking.
I'm talking the Tolkien film about J.R.R. Tolkien.
This
is probably about 2018.
I'm off of things.
You're off on a lot of things, but that's right. We love you anyway. You set it up. You know I had to go for that one.
You.
I had to get that one.
You got me.
Okay, but that's basically what's been going on. Also, I have been finding some time. Because I'm only part-time, so I do have like some times that I have like a day off. And I got a couple of game recommendations. I want to talk about one game in particular that I've been playing. But before we get into games, just because I have it in this order, of course I have to ask the question, what have you been watching on Disney Plus? And I got to say, I've been rewatching The Mandalorian because I'm looking forward to Season 3.
Well, sure.
So I started rewatching that. Then also, all those Pixar shorts are all on there. I had a good time the other day. Just going and watching. And we were trying to remember like what movie each one we remember seeing. Because I think For the Birds might have been with Monsters Incorporated. I think. But we remember we loved like For the Birds. And that's one they got an Oscar for. We still just adore that one. That one in Bounden. And then we even found Lou was on there. Lou was in front of, I think, Inside Out, maybe. No. Lava was in front of Inside Out. But remember, did you see Lou about the little lost and found creature? That come out of the head like the bully kid stealing people's stuff and he gets the bully.
I like that, yeah.
I love the lesson of that one because it shows you that, you know, people that are hurt others and also teaches the bully how to make friends. And he gains friends by the end of it. And he's excited about giving people their stuff out because he realizes when I do something nice for someone, I make friends and I'm not alone anymore. And I love that's a great message. But you kind of look at like Pixar as they've grown. They've gone from being, you know, funny and pretty clever to they're more heartfelt and more thoughtful and maybe a little less funny sometimes, but it's just good quality films.
One thing I like about it, though, is they have the ability to use morals, sometimes social morals, but there's sometimes morals, sometimes you can do both, you know.
Yeah.
And then other times they find a way to put a sense of humor with that, and I like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that takes a great sense of gift and talent to them.
Yeah.
It really does because not just anybody can do that. Sometimes people try that and it's a real swing and miss. But I think that they got it all. Yeah. They really do. Great
Pixar. I still think Pixar's animated films are currently better than Disney's animated films.
Ooh, watch your man. No, I had to admit.
I've said it many times. Pixar is starting it, which is why I think Disney. I mean, when Disney started working with Pixar. They knew. It's like, hey, this is something magical going on over here at Pixar. And so when they worked that distribution deal, which Michael Eisner really, he didn't make a very good deal. He was a little bit of a jerk to Pixar, you know, whether intentionally or not. He didn't really did very well. So, but I liked it now that they've brought Pixar in as part of the company because they recognize Pixar has got a lot of great stories, a lot of great talent.
I don't want to go too much on Eisner.
Yeah. I don't want to bag on the guy because he did a lot of good.
He did his good things. But he was a businessman.
He was.
He was a businessman. He didn't have...
And he was a good businessman.
He didn't have the Roy Disney heart.
Yeah.
But he was a good businessman.
Yeah.
But not Disneyman, as far as that goes. But he did do his good.
Yeah.
He did do
his good. And I appreciate him showing up on the Sunday Night Disney specials.
Oh, yeah.
Having him in there, because he knew that's what Walt did, and so yeah. he decided he would do it. He put a face to the company.
Keep again. In mind, and I'm just going to say this, me being a man who loves to draw and all, he wanted to get rid of the animated movies. He wanted to get, at the time.
Well, at the time, they weren't making money. Then Little Mermaid, kaboom!
But as to say, Roy Disney... And I'm talking about his son.
Yeah, the nephew.
Nephew. I'm talking Roy's. About Roy's son, though.
Yeah.
If it hadn't been for him.
Roy's son, Roy.
Yeah, Roy Jr., we'll call him.
Yeah.
If it hadn't been for him.
One was an E and the other's an O. I think it was Roy E. Disney was was the son, wasn't it?
But yeah. I don't remember. But I do know this. If it hadn't been for him, it would have been gone.
So right.
There would have been no Little Mermaid. There would have been no. And I don't. If you like him or not, if it hadn't been for. There would have been no Little Mermaid, no Beauty and the Beast. No, Hunchback, all those movies, mm-hmm. whether you like them or not, those were good.
Yeah. And Hunchback is a very good movie.
Oh, my. The animation.
It's very dark, is that what
scares some people,
but that's such a good movie.
The music and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
It was like watching, almost, to me, I think of it like a musical play, almost, like this animation.
Well, apparently in Europe, they did. They brought that one to, I can't call it Broadway, but they did a full musical production, like what we have here with Beauty and the Beast and Frozen so well and everything. I'd love to have seen it, but they didn't bring it over here.
When I was watching that movie, which I saw it the night before it came out, because I helped, and I probably mentioned this before, but I knew a man who worked at a movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to paint on the outside windows with him. We both like to draw. Great guy. But anyway, we got to see it the night before. This is before they did that. This is back in the 90s, 1996, in fact. And so we got to do that before they did that. So we got to watch it the night before it came out.
Oh,
and
man.
It was so much fun. Just me, him, and his girlfriend sitting in the theater watching that. Nobody else. And it was so awesome. And I remember the whole theater just... Me and I knew the songs because I'd had the soundtrack like a week before.
That's what we do.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there singing it, not out loud. I wouldn't do that. It wouldn't have been for anyone else. But I was sitting there singing it to myself, singing it with them. And man, oh man, to hear that music, and I just loved it.
Yeah.
And right away, I saw Belle walking there. It was just so great. It was just, I don't know.
It's a great film. Enough. Speaking of, I did have a similar experience with the first Spider-Man movie, by the way, because Josh was working at the theater, the same guy who took me to Walt Disney World. Yes. He was working at that theater. He got me in for the late showing.
Isn't that
with
great?
I think it was me, Heather, James. Were you with us?
I know James was with us. I don't remember.
Maybe you weren't. I don't know. But speaking of drawing, I'm going to piggyback on that to let you know what's coming up on the show.
Sure.
We are going to have a movie review of, I finally got around to sitting to watch on Disney Plus, Ivan, or the one and only Ivan.
I've seen that.
So, yeah, it's on Disney Plus. We'll talk about that later on the show, but we do have a lot of news. But I do want to talk a couple other extra things, speaking of some video games. So this week, I finished the main story of Skyrim. Elder Scrolls 5, and since I did the main story, I'm keeping it installed on my PlayStation, because there's more things to do. That game is so big. And I made it fun for myself. I've learned some tricks, and I'll probably make some videos showing this. Without really having to cheat the system or anything, you can make yourself pretty much invincible.
But what is the story of Skyrim?
The main story is that your character, whoever you create, is the Dragonborn. So you're the only person who's able to speak the dragon speech.
Oh, that's okay.
And
you told
use
me that.
Like the dragon, because basically, and it even says like in a loading screen that a battle between two dragons is actually a verbal debate because they use words to breathe fire or ice or all these kind of things. And the Dragonborn is a human who can naturally do that ability. All they got to do is learn the word, and he can do it. So, but you're on that character, and you're coming as almost like a foretold, because Alduin, the eater of worlds, the mighty dragon, has returned, and along with him, all these other dragons are coming back. And so that's like the main story, is dealing with that. But there's so many other side stories for you to play with, and I play with a lot of them, but there is a fun trick, and many of you, maybe if you play Skyrim, you might know this. You go and you learn, if you get good at alchemy and some enchanting, you can eventually create a potion that you can then enchant an armor that fortifies your health, where your health could be over 3,000, so nothing really will ever hurt you. You could fall off the tallest mountain and not get hurt. I mean, you might be hurt, but you won't feel it. And then, with some... I wouldn't recommend enchanting on the PlayStation, trying to enchant a sword that does like 3,000 heat damage, because everything usually has only about 200, 300 health. Even like a boss character. Even the dragons. So, you know, you can make an enchantment on something, but I noticed the PlayStation, it can't handle the math, it'll crash, and then suddenly your sword doesn't have any charges of your magic. But you can get a potion of super smithing with all the trickery, and I'll show you how to do all this eventually in some videos, if you don't already. Basically, it's a potion of smithing that you create, you don't create the weapon, but when you sharpen it and you refine the weapon, you can make that weapon do 3,000 damage or whatever. Not in enchanting, but you can do it. Like, I got a sword that was doing 675 damage on its own without an enchantment. So I didn't have to enchant that sword. I just had to hit stuff with it and anything would just die. So I made myself super powered and did all these other side missions and did the main mission just to experience the story. And I'm Superman, except for I can't fly. But I can one punch everything with this magic sword I got and this armor I'm wearing that gives me so much health that nothing hurts me. Well, so it was awesome.
I'll tell you this about dragons. I know this much. Every little piece. Every little crease.
Okay, for anyone who doesn't get the Pete Dragon reference.
You're my wagon to destiny. You're the key.
Okay. But moving along. So also, it was having that time, I did a short playthrough game of Detroit Become Human. That game, I was on the verge of tears a couple times by the end. It's a very well done sci-fi game. The story of that game can go almost any direction depending upon how you play through. There's multiple different directions of that story. It's a very creative game. I highly recommend it. But what I wanted to get down to was I mentioned, and you probably remember me talking about this, that they announced for The Sims 4 an expansion go Star Wars.
That's going
to
be awesome.
It's out.
Oh, cool.
It's out. I have it. I've played it.
Yeah.
Now let me tell you something about it. I'm a little disappointed.
Aw.
It is pretty neat, but it feels almost like a novelty at this point. Now, I haven't done everything yet. It took me a while to kind of figure some stuff out because, now, I'm playing it on a PlayStation 4, and the load times were unbearable on that. Maybe it would run better on a computer. And it's the interface is a little tricky. I forgot how to do a few things. It took me, because it's basically, Batuu is a vacation destination, which you can take your regular Sims to. It took me a while to remember how to set up that, but I noticed when I got to Batuu, it told me how many days of vacation I had to spend there because my job requires me to come back and do my job. The Sim still has to have a life. But the problems I've had is you have to find certain people at times, basically, because you have options. You've got the Black Spire outposts. You've got locations. So the Black Spire outpost is over here. There's a resistance camp in the woods, and this is based completely off Galaxy's Edge in a Disney park. It's formatted just like that.
I was going to say, if I'm not mistaken, these are places you can actually go in Disney. If I'm not mistaken.
There's also a First Order area within town.
Yeah, they have
And they've got the locations of shops where you could actually buy stuff in the park, so you can actually go and buy. Problem is when you go to the shop and you want to buy something, you click on the shop and say you want to buy it, you don't actually get to go wander in the store.
You're
outside. Your character goes and disappears, and then you get a menu of items that you could buy. I wanted to go wandering inside. I wanted to look inside all the other buildings, but I can't. I could go into the cantina, which is nice because you just walk in and you can do all kinds of stuff. Rex is over there DJing and everything. It does sound like Paul Rubens may have voiced Rex for them, but of course, he's speaking Sim language, so it's, ooh, amiga, 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 amiga.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing that whole thing. And I don't know if it's really Paul Rubens, but it's a good job. And I was having fun with that.
Imitation of nothing else.
So, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff. I mean, I do recommend it because I think you can enjoy it for the Star Wars-ness. But on Black Spire, you can find Hondo. Good old Hondo Anaka.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure out how to start a smuggler quest. Because when I first got in there, I didn't realize the game, because it sets it up as your career things to do. And first, what it wants you to do is find certain things and go plan you a Batuu outfit, which basically means you can choose some clothes. It also shows you where to refresh your character. Refreshing means that they'll take a shower, they'll go to the bathroom. But there's only one location that I found to refresh and take a shower. Now, I guess that would be similar to the parks, but when I'm in the cantina, my character has to go to the bathroom. You'd think somewhere in that cantina there'd be a bathroom.
Yeah.
There ain't. He has to go all the way out the other side of that one map. But the problem is now I have three maps. Okay? So if I want to go from Blackspire Outpost and I want to go to the Resistance Camp, I actually have to go to the phone and go travel and go through a whole loading process to get over to pop up in the Resistance Camp. And I'm going to do this repeatedly because I started doing resistance missions. These resistance missions, well, some of them will require me to go and get a data spike in the Black Spire Outpost and then go over to the First Order thing, use the data spike, hack some comm tower. So I've got these little tasks I'm doing, and I have to find these little things that I don't have much of a clue to figure out what is that item, who is this person I'm looking for, because I've got a resistance contact wandering around that says in the cantina, but the person that I was supposed to contact was wandering around where they really wanted them at, but then every once in a while would come into that cantina. And I even had times where my character got busy doing something. You know how Sims do, they'll take care of themselves if you've said it right. I'll tell them, oh, I need to go do this. And I'll select to go interact with the character with something that is highlighted as being a resistance mission. But then that person, that character I want to interact with, stops what they were doing or starts doing a task to where it drops that selection that I've made. And now I can't go and reselect to do that selection for whatever reason. So it's, I found it to be kind of buggy that way. And I even had a lot of trouble. I needed to make sure my character had learned programming in order to go and hack some things. So I've had all kinds of trouble doing the task. And in the middle of the task, your character, he wants to eat. He wants to sleep. He wants to go to the bathroom because he's a sim.
Sure.
So I've had all those type of problems. And some things that my sim got to do, like I got to go and fly an X-Wing to do it. It's like a distraction mission. I'm trying to lead the First Order away from what the Resistance is really trying to do. I don't get to fly those missions. I'm playing a sim. I just go and click on the X-Wing and tell him to pilot and do this job. Now, it did have a little, because Sims 4 will have things like are on the job. This situation just happened on the job. What do you want your sim to do? And there is that, and that's it's kind of neat, but I wanted to fly the thing. When I play Star Wars game, I'm used to getting to pilot the thing, have the fights. So it's a little disappointing in some of those ways because you're still playing The Sims, and there's a lot of problems like that. But you're still getting to play in the Star Wars universe, and that's still fun. And by the time I got myself where I bought a lightsaber, and I didn't realize that I was already given a kyber crystal. I was given a white one for doing a resistance job, but I didn't want that one. I bought a green one. So I built my lightsaber, and that unlocks where you can challenge certain other characters to Jedi duels. And so, but if you make the challenge, apparently you're the one that wins. So I had some things where I go and challenge people. Now, here's the funny part. I've got my wife, Heather, playing, and she's gotten to do the scoundrel missions. I got those working. When she completed a scoundrel mission, it gave her a red kyber crystal. Huh. So when I went, I bought her a hilt, and she's got... The funny thing is, when I lit up my green one, for the first time when he put the kyber crystal in, he's like, you know, I've stepped my first path of being a Jedi. When Heather put her red kyber crystal in, she's... It was hilarious.
So you just called your wife a scoundrel.
Scoundrel? I just scoundrel? I mean, that's... And then, of course, Hondo says, scoundrel? No, we're maybe a pirate. We'll take that. But we don't like scoundrel. Han would have taken scoundrel. Like, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but that's the path. She's walking. But they work kind of with the resistance anyway, because that's why Hondo's getting to drive the Millennium Falcon around. But now, here's what's funny. Stuff you buy there, the clothes I'm wearing in Batuu, I can't wear back home. But our lightsabers came with us. And I played around. When we went back home, after I came off the vacation... I was controlling Heather, and I was like, I clicked over on me just to see, and I was like, oh, look, I can challenge Jeremy to a duel. Of course, since she was the one that challenged, she won. She won the duel. But it's funny, so we're out in front of our suburban home, battling with lightsabers.
Well, have you not
as
learned,
the neighbors walk by.
This is a lesson in marriage. The wife always wins.
There you go. But one thing I also found fun is I was able to sit, because one of her first scoundrel mission was to play Sabacc with Hondo. And when you go to vacation, you do things as a group. So I was able to bring, Heather was able, you know, I was playing as Heather because she had to do the mission, but I was able to bring my sim and Hondo all together at a Sabacc table, and we're playing Sabacc, and you can watch, because you have your simoleons is money in the regular game, but you have credits in the Star Wars universe, and there actually are gambling with the credits, but you don't have, the problem is, I mean, it was fun. We're playing Sabacc, but I wanted to play the game. The sims are doing it. I have no control over whether or not the sims are going to win. As a first, Heather won her hand. We won 400 credits out of him, but then he won like 100 of them back, and then we won some more back. So it's kind of fun. Yeah. It is a gamble, but you don't have any control of what's going to happen, or you can't. I want to be able to play Sabacc in the game, but you can't.
I just realized.
You just make your sim.
I just realized a similarity, not just with the word wife and Wookiee, but with the fact that I said the wife always wins, let the Wookiee win.
I haven't seen any Wookiees wandering around.
Oh no.
I've seen a lot of other different species, but I haven't seen any Wookiees.
Chewbacca is my favorite.
They gotta be in there.
He's in the park.
Yes, he is. Chewbacca's over there.
Now, are there any other? I think there is. I can't remember his name right now. Chewbacca's friend, who's in
like Captain Tarful and stuff like that.
Yes,
I haven't seen. Like I said, I haven't seen any other Wookiees show up.
Aww.
I'm expecting, you know,
Ewoks.
This thing just came out, so I'm expecting EA.
Sure.
And, you know, it's still going to be, they're going to tweak it and update and everything. There's been a lot of updates just the regular
Ewoks
Sims.
Or anything
like that? No, I haven't seen any Ewoks. Aww. But you don't see any Ewoks in the parks, but they could have Jawas and Ewoks in the game.
Yeah.
So We'll wait and see what all they do. But overall, I do recommend it. It is kind of, it's amusing. But I want more from it than what I was able to buy a Blue Milk.
What I was going to, I was going to ask you was, is it a game different from The Sims in the sense that you can do Star Wars things? Or is it just a, I don't know what the right word is. It's just a mask. I mean, is it just like,
you're doing Sims things in a Star Wars universe.
So is it just like an
for
outfit?
Your career stuff, you're just going and getting, kind of like an online role-playing game where you can go and you get a quest from a quest giver, and then you go do it. I did learn, if you already have a quest, don't go and try to get another quest because it'll wipe it out.
I was looking for is this
in a ways, it is, because you're still playing a Sims game. You're just playing it in a Star Wars area.
I just didn't know if, like if when you get a lightsaber, if you're actually doing the lightsaber stuff.
No, saying, go challenge them, and they'll go, shoot. And so you don't get control of the fight.
Yeah.
They're just doing it. So, like I said, whoever initiates the challenge apparently gets the animation to win. And basically, by winning means they disarm them, and then your opponent falls down, and they're like, ha-ha! So... But it's still fun, it's still some Star Wars stuff. Yeah. So I still was enjoying it. I was a little disappointed because I kind of felt like I wanted more out of it.
Yeah.
But you know, they just put this expansion out. They'll probably make some updates. You know, maybe give them a few more buildings that you're allowed to go and play in. I don't know. But overall, yeah, I do recommend it because if you're a Star Wars fan, it's still going to make you smile.
How much fun it would be if they expanded that, and I don't mean the Star Wars, just the Star Wars. That would be fun. But they could try so many other things too. If The Sims made a deal with Star Trek or with Marvel.
I would say this must be some sort of deal with Disney.
Well, okay,
overall, Marvel, so then. Maybe, yes. Maybe we could play in the Marvel universe.
That would be fun.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know, because I didn't even know this was happening. Somehow I missed it until they made that announcement. And it was announced like a couple weeks before,
boom,
it's out.
Yeah.
So they're really, I mean, unless someone else is a bit more in the know than I am, and I'd say there's probably people more in the know than I am. I don't know of anything else coming, but if this deal was with Disney, because, well, EA, though, has a Star Wars license, though.
Sure, they do.
So that might be all it is. They might only have license for Star Wars, but with that, I'm kind of hoping, maybe, with the relationship with Disney, if EA continues to make some sort of quality product, and this, I'd say this is a quality product. It's a Sims game, and it's exactly what you expect from The Sims. But I would like to have maybe where you could play in a Disney park, because basically when you go to these places, you're supposed to be on a vacation.
Yeah.
Why not have a Disney park vacation?
Oh, how fun it would be to go to Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Go on the ride.
And just to have a generic Magic Kingdom and have, you know, mix your version of Disneyland and Walt Disney World.
We'll go on the rides.
And, you know, send your sim on the rides.
Yeah,
you know.
And how about what would be great...
Which, there is that game that I was playing with.
Marvel,
but
how great it would be to go to a Comic-Con. And how much fun that would be. You see the people dressed like the
go to a convention and it's like people dressed as...
That would be fun. You know, you'd have a lot of fun.
That would be fun. And there might be something in The Sims 4 already to do stuff like that, because they basically Sims 4 is where they stopped and now they're just making expansions for it, apparently. So, but anyways, that's kind of my thoughts on that. But I had one last thought I want to get before we get into any sort of news. And I've got my notes. It says, Weird Dreams of Haunted Mansion Alteration. Now, let me fast something up to y'all. I have had, ever since going to the parks, and maybe even before, but mainly I think after, I've had dreams of going, mainly I guess it's always Disneyland I go to, usually, because I don't have a familiarity with Disneyland.
You mean literal dreams?
The dreams, yes. Literal, I'm asleep and I have a dream.
I have two as well. I was, go ahead.
Yeah, so I've several times, and it's always stuff like I don't usually get to do. That's why I know I'm always in Disneyland, because I've never really been there. I've had times because I never went with my family. I've had times my mom, who's long passed away, is there, and we're on a vacation to Disneyland, which never really happened. But that's, like I said, this is like a when I'm asleep dream. But always when I go, it's like number one thing, because I love the Haunted Mansion. I always have to go to the Haunted Mansion. But every time I go, I get a different version of the Haunted Mansion. And it's not until I wake up that I realize that was nothing like the real thing. But always there's some crazy imaginative thing. Sometimes we're riding through. Sometimes we're actually walking through. One time we were floating through. It was all like a water thing. But a weird thing. So last night I had this, and I just added the notes this morning. I had this dream, and it was weird, because the grinning ghost theme was not there. And that was unnerving. Even in the dream, there was no music. Now, it was kind of cool, because I was afraid I was going to get kicked out of the park, because they had stuff close enough by. They had these like wall sconces, and they were kind of moving and leaning in at us. And I reached up and touched one, and I realized, oh, I'm going to get kicked out of this if I do that. But it was like I was right there. I couldn't help myself. I was like, oh, I want to touch it. But I realized while I was running, it's like, I'm not hearing grinning ghosts.
I've had a...
That spooked me, because, like, golly, well, you know, with how Disney, they're changing things in the parks, I guess if they touch on a mansion to do something like that, I'd freak the heck out.
Well, the people here listening may not know this about me. I do suffer from seizures.
Yeah.
They're different now than they used to be. I used to have seizures a long time ago. I've had 7 brain surgeries. The two that I had previously, I'm talking about from on the opposite side of my brain now, I had 2 tumors at the beginning. And the second brain surgery, I started having seizures after then. Well, anyway, earlier on in my life, many years ago now, about 15, 20 years ago, I started having the seizures. And at that time, I had a video game, which I played for PlayStation 2, I believe.
The go-kart one.
The go-kart one.
Yeah.
There was a time on a certain level in which you had to do certain things. And when you would go through there, it would just pretty much be you and you alone at night going through there. And it was real spooky because not only because of the Haunted Mansion, but there was nobody in there with you. And it was like real almost quiet. You just hear the and hardly the music. I mean, just you pretty much by yourself. And I used to get a little spooked. I actually not only dreamed about it because I played it so much, trying to get that done. But when I'd go through a seizure, sometimes I would almost be like kind of half dreaming, but it seemed like it was really happening.
Mm.
And I dreamt when I was having a seizure, I would see it happening, different things. And the Haunted Mansion was one of the things I saw happening. That and the jungle, right? But I see this stuff going on through my seizures. And then into my sleep, sometimes that stuff would repeat itself. Weird. So that's why it kind of freaked me out. Once in a great while, that stuff would come back in my dreams. And just like 2 months ago, that happened.
Ooh.
And every once in a while, people who have passed, talking about in real life, that stuff will come to me. So that's just very interesting.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing about this dream last night, I was there with a family that I had no idea who they were. But I was like, I'd known them for a long time, but I had known, you know, they had a couple of kids.
Dreams are fun. Dreams are weird. But they're kind of fun, too.
Yeah. But it's weird, because normally I'd be there with, like, you know, either with mom or my family or whatever. But, yeah, this is weird. I was with people that I didn't even know. Like, this other family that knew me. And what's weird is I kind of, all right, I'm going to throw this idea out there. Believe me, if anybody ever did this for me, I would love you to death. But it almost felt like they were listeners. Honestly, because I wasn't that familiar with, I felt like I was getting to know this family, but they already kind of knew me, which is exactly all you listening, and you especially, right there. Yes, I'm talking directly to you. You feel like you know me because I can talk right into your ears.
No,
and we're friends. I will say now, we are friends. I've just never met you yet, but we're friends. Okay, that's how that works. And that's how it felt like. It's like it was there. It's like, oh, well, we're friends. I'm just still getting to know them, but they know me because they've listened to the show. That's what it felt like, and it was fun. But I just remember being on the Haunted Mansion and then not hearing grim grinning ghosts in any form was unnerving. So. Yeah. You know, I hope that like that go-kart through the Magic Kingdom game, I hope they remake that.
Yeah, dude.
Because even this week, I was playing the Aladdin and Lion King where they've kind of remade it. I'm playing on PlayStation 4 and I was playing with that. I thought I was going to have the Super Nintendo Aladdin game and the Sega one, but it's only the Sega one. But that's okay because the Sega one will actually use Disney animators. The Sega one is harder, though, apparently. I've never played the Super Nintendo one, but I love the I love that the music is actually pulled pretty much from the movies and done in Sega Genesis style. So that was a weird dream, but I guess we can jump into some news.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
All right, so the first thing, I saw some special seasonal things happening for all of you living in Florida. So yeah, so now I'm going to talk directly to you there in Florida. But there on the Disney Parks blog, it said Florida residents enjoy special offers, discounts on seasonal magic at Walt Disney World. So it's a limited time. But you're going to receive about 20% discount on select merchandise. That's going on Monday through Thursday, September 15th through October 29th. And you do have to prove your residency. But, I mean, I'm looking at little objects of, you know the little ghost dog?
Zero.
I see Zero. There's the little kind of an apple. There's like a Haunted Mansion maid outfit type of thing. And I'm not sure what these are. These are like candle holders. But, I mean, there's really some great pictures here on the blog. There's different little fun food items. Now, they did mention the place is going to be kind of in a fall decor, and there will be some Halloween-themed character cavalcades going on, but we're not going to have the not-so-scary Halloween parties going on. I don't know if any of the Mickey's special Christmas stuff is going to happen, but we know, of course, they're going to decorate. They have been talking, like, in November, they'll deck that place out for the holidays, but I don't think I've heard anything about having or not having at this point. I would presume they probably will not be having the Christmas parties because they the limited capacity, but... All right, I'm just going to go up and say it. I have a feeling here in November that suddenly all this is just going to go away. I bet I'm just now.
Yeah, I imagine.
Wink and a nod.
Yeah, wink and a nod.
Either you understand me or you don't.
You know what?
But, okay. Yeah,
I'm sorry. I was going to say, I know that for the sake of Christmas, holiday, whatever you want to call it, I know that they
we can call it Christmas here. We like Christmas.
Go ahead. Christmas!
And happy Hanukkah to all of the rest of you.
Yeah,
and
you bet.
Happy Kwanzaa, happy Festivus, whatever.
Happy Hanukkah, Percy. that's an inside joke. Anyhow, I remember...
I'm already wishing people Merry Christmas.
anyway, they have the great holiday stuff at Disney World. That's great. But man, I really do wish, even if it was just for a week or two, I wish that they would have a very awesome, even if it was just for a parade, Thanksgiving.
Okay. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great?
Well, I know Thanksgiving, the place gets packed, and they do, I guess, awesome. A few things. Kind of like on Easter, there's a few fun things you can find on that day.
Yeah.
But there's no big buildup to it.
Wouldn't it be interesting, even if it's just a parade, I would love I'd love to see Mickey and them direct, because I love the pictures I've seen. Well, you remember how they had the Norman Rockwell?
Yeah. I don't know if those were officially Disney made, but they're cool.
Yeah, but they're Disney. And it's neat. Be great to at least
I got a Muppets one like that, too.
See them dressed like pilgrims.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
That would be neat. Of course. So all right, I don't want to get on there. There are people who are fuss about things
that. But still, it's still an American.
Don't ruin my fun. This is part of we enjoy. And, you know, there was a time of peace before things kind of went wrong.
Yeah.
And believe me, there were people doing wrong on both sides of the whole thing. It's terrible. But that's history. History is full of people messing up. Over yourself.
And not just that. They came together with peace.
Yeah, that was a time where it came together in peace, and I wish it could have stayed that way. But
that's right.
You know, but that is history, and you can't condemn one country because America is no worse, and actually, we're probably a lot better than a lot of the other things that went on to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. So, but I always remember that's a good time to give thanks.
That's right.
So, you know what? A good time of some thankfulness in Disney would be nobody would complain about that. We should all be grateful.
Thankful for one another.
Thankful for one another for just one of many bazillion things we should be thankful for.
Amen.
Right on. All right, so next thing. Speaking of being thankful, all you there in Hong Kong, Disneyland Resort in Hong Kong is celebrating its 15th birthday.
Cool. It doesn't seem like it should be that old.
Well, so you got to remember there's a difference between the Hong Kong and Shanghai. Shanghai just opened a few years ago.
No, I knew that.
It's Hong Kong.
15 years seems like a blink of the eye for me, right?
Woo!
Now. That just seems like it just happened.
Woo! I've been married longer than that.
I know.
But I'm old.
I say nothing.
You say nothing. You're still nearly a year older than me.
I'll kick you.
But they're actually going to do some virtual celebration. Let's see what day, because this was released on Saturday is when there's a video on their YouTube channel. But they're going to have some stuff going on Facebook. They want to have online video calls. They got some backgrounds for you to use, basically, from like around in Hong Kong where you got a Toy Story Land. You got Mickey and Minnie and Donald and all kinds of fun little backgrounds. I guess virtual backgrounds. They have a bunch of pictures on the blog for virtual backgrounds. Really? I thought when they talk about wanting to do something online that they were going to let you watch it. I'd keep an eye on their YouTube page because they might live stream something. I don't know what day, though, it's going to be because it didn't say. Well, oh, no. Today marks the 15th birthday. So Saturday was. Okay, never mind. Answer my own question. Okay, well. But yeah, so congratulations. We're going to talk about Hong Kong later, too, believe you me. That's going to come up. All right. And the other thing over at WDWNT, Walt Disney World News Today, they had some neat pictures. I don't know if you can see these from where you're at, Phil.
cookie cutters of iconic locations or items from the parks. You've got the Epcot Spaceship Earth. You've got the castle. Awesome. Look, here's the Disneyland castle.
I like that.
And there is the carousel before it became the Incredicoaster. Oh, no. Well, no, I guess I don't know if they changed the carousel over there in California Adventure.
So.
But here's the Hollywood Terror Tower Hotel, whatever. You know what I mean. The Terror Hotel. Terror. But and even the Tree of Life from Animal Kingdom. Six cookie cutters that are available. I think it's available on Shop Disney. I hope it is.
I like that.
Believe me, I would make some cookies like this. These are super cool. And of course, though, you can decorate the cookies after you cut them out and paint them up if you're really talented.
You could probably
pull it off because you did all the wrestling cookies.
I could try.
I would probably not do a good job with the icing. I'd make a total mess of it. But still, these are cookie cutters.
If we would even make it to the icing, because let's be honest, we'd probably we'd be like a cookie monster.
Alrighty. Okay, and you remember like a while back, and I was sharing them on my own Facebook page because Funko slowly started letting us see these Disneyland characters, bit at a time. And I was sharing every time Funko posted one, and you've been sending stuff to Messenger.
Man.
Because the first series already came and is sold out. Including, remember, I was telling you that I saw a picture of like a castle? Apparently sold out. Amazon cleared this stuff out. Mm. But a second wave is apparently live and probably sold out as we speak.
Today I saw some more pictures of Peter Pan and Jeremy and I are Peter Pan nuts. We love it. Obviously.
I scratched myself trying to get a fly on my face.
Obviously.
Here it is.
And they got
Peter Pan
Toad
and
Dumbo.
I think he's riding. Yeah, he's definitely riding the Peter Pan ride. Minnie's riding on the Dumbo ride. Yeah. You got Mr. Toad on his ride. There's a Captain Hook. I see Mr. Toad with the big crazy eyes, but the Captain Hook figures.
I love them all.
But they're selling. Oh, I've got a whole list. This is the second wave. Flying Dumbo ride with Mickey. But $30 for that one.
Yeah.
Peter Pan and flight card, Mr. Toad in a car, Mr. Toad with spinning eyes, awesome. Captain Hook, just a Peter Pan, $10.99.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if I wish I would. Money's tight right now, but oh, man, a Peter Pan. Alice in a teacup. Oh, I'd get that one for Heather.
Oh, and they also had, was it the cat I saw? Cheshire cat.
That's interesting. So, there's also a Flying Dumbo with Minnie that's a $7.99. I guess there's probably one giant one.
Yeah,
and one
I saw
right
two.
Side.
Yeah.
But what were you saying?
I think it was. I saw Alice.
Oh, it's a keychain. That's what $7.99. Okay, keychains.
I saw Alice, and I don't remember if it was a Cheshire cat, but I saw two different teacups.
That might be the first wave. Because, yeah, this is the Alice in a teacup is a keychain. There's a Dumbo ride with Minnie in a keychain, Peter Pan keychain, and a Mr. Toad keychain as well. Now, the original, first wave. Yeah, see, that's the first wave. And I remember sharing that image where you have Mickey in the park band style and the castle.
Oh, boy.
Which I wanted that castle.
Oh, Aunt Bee.
But those sold out fast because they had pre-orders available on Entertainment Earth. The shipping's actually. I guess there is still. Well, they had the. This is the where I'm looking at. This is like the original article. It was on comicbook.com. Not to be confused with Cosmic Book. Cosmic Book has a lot of fake stuff, so don't go to that one. Go to comicbook.com. But there was a pre-sale going on, but I guess it might have sold out on Entertainment Earth. But shipping is slated for January. A lot of this stuff, so you might not get it until then. Even on the Amazon, I don't know, but. Hunt down what you can. You're going to probably pay out the yin-yang for it because people are probably buying. And then once people get it, there's probably people buying multiples. They're planning to turn around and sell it. You're not supposed to. Disney doesn't like that when you pull it from the parks and do that kind of thing.
For sure.
So even so much to where I know Eric wouldn't like want to. He wouldn't scalp me or anything. There's been times I've asked Eric, like, if I send you money, will you pick this up for me? And he will not do it because he does not want to get himself into trouble. And I totally understand that. He doesn't really want to risk it. But it basically just, it's like, if I sent you the money, though, I don't know if it would be as bad. But, yeah, he doesn't even want to appear because they'll do stuff to his annual pass. And I'm not going to make him do anything. I asked once, but I will never ask again because I do not want to get Eric in trouble. So, but there was some stuff I would love to be able to get. I cannot find my scrolly thing anymore. What did I click on? All right, here we go. All right, so moving on. So the Xbox Series S and X, they've announced those are awesome. He's got some Star Wars salt and pepper shakers that are First Order and the Kylo Ren helmet, by the way, he's showing me. All right, so.
Not Kylo Ren.
I saw the Kylo Ren. Is this a regular Stormtrooper then? Oh, it is. Okay. But salt and pepper shakers. Cool. Anyways, moving. But the Xbox Series S and Series X
There are differences in size, differences in the hardware, but we're looking at like, let me find those prices again. Over 100 high quality games to play on the console. Now they've got a, they do have like a streaming service, and you can get it on your PC through your, if you got a Microsoft Windows, they have a Game Pass that I can play a lot of Xbox games on my PC through this Game Pass. It's kind of a streaming service similar to what I do on the PlayStation. They're kind of moving people towards that with these consoles, where you are gonna stream your games.
Yeah.
So you're gonna pay some extra fees, like $24.99 a month for 24 months. That's the Series S, and the X will be at $34.99, because I guess the X is also gonna have, you know, more power. But say, in addition to the traditional gaming option of purchasing the new generation Xbox Series X and S at $499 estimated retail price and $299 estimated retail price, respectively, we're expanding all of our Xbox All Access program to 12 countries this holiday, with more to come in 2021. So basically, $499 for X, $299 for the S. Now the X, I think is gonna maybe have a disc drive, because they've talked about backwards compatibility, but of course, a lot of that backwards compatibility could be streaming the games.
They're doing the same.
Or down. Of course, with the Game Pass, instead of streaming them like I do on PlayStation, it seems more focused on the PC for me to download the game.
They're doing that with PlayStation as well.
PlayStation 5 is going to do that, but they do have an option, of course, for a disc that I know. Yeah. Xbox, I'm not sure that you have a disc.
Yeah, I believe they have that with that as well.
Yeah, I think they should, because that would, you know, if I got disc for something, I want to be able to play.
I'm getting more expensive for the play. I'm doing PlayStation.
Yeah, I'm doing a PlayStation, but for all you Xbox fans out there, that's that information out there. That was on news.xbox.com. They've got a lot of information about that. Okay, another quick jump on there. I heard about this just a couple days ago. So Diana Rigg passed away. Yeah, and you're looking at me like, well, that's
bad.
I know
the name. Yeah, I can't remember.
Okay, she was the original Avengers. I'm not talking Marvel's Avengers. I'm talking like the two, you know, they made a movie in America with Uma Thurman.
I knew that is.
I'm explaining to you listening, not Philip. I'm explaining it to you, just in case you didn't know. But there was an old Avengers TV show. They made a movie that was terrible. I went to the theater thinking it was going to be awesome. It's like a weird, goofy James Bond. It was terrible.
Yeah.
I guess the series was great.
Yeah,
so,
I used to watch the
show. She was on that. Mm-hmm. Now, I was like, oh, that's too bad. But then I saw she was Lady Holiday in The Great Muppet Caper.
Yes.
That's the only thing I think I know her from. And that's why I wanted to bring it up on the show, that she's passed away.
I used to watch the TV show The Avengers. My father told me about it growing up. And I can't remember if it was Nickelodeon.
Nick at Night, I think, did show it for a while.
And I watched it on one of those shows. I don't remember which one, because I had a few things I watched. And I watched, if you mention an old classic TV show, I probably have seen it or own it or something, because I'm a TV-holic, and
freely admit that.
I own so many nonsensical shows, and I love them. I love them because it takes you to another time, and so
another place.
To her,
the age of wonder.
Thank you for your work, and thank you for your art, and because you help people in times that they needed. This is how I see it for all artists of different sorts. You help people to take their mind off the troubles.
Yeah. At least that's why that's what we respect out of them. We don't. Okay. I'm not going to go on that tangent, because that's even with football. We want to watch you play football. We're not that worried about other stuff.
If
we agree with you, we're like,
she did a good job in her day.
To perform, and what you do is we enjoy what you do. That's all we need from you.
But she was good. She was good escape. In her role. She was good.
Yeah.
Miss Peel.
All of you that help us escape from Ukraine, because we got to deal with all kinds of stuff in regular life. So you, those who entertain and you play sports and stuff, we love it when you help us forget about what's going on in the world and just have fun.
Yeah.
And please continue to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that's what we love you for.
That's right.
That we love to watch you throw touchdowns. We love to watch you perform as characters.
Miss Peel.
So that's why we love you. And we do love you. But that's all we really need. We need an escape, and you help us, and we thank you for that.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm going to say. So, moving on, speaking of people who are doing awesome things to help us escape, Ewan McGregor has confirmed that the Obi-Wan series, it will be a standalone series, so just one season, but it will begin filming in 2021. Here it comes! Ooh, it's coming!
Right.
So I'm glad, because that's saying Ewan McGregor just basically told us the world will be back to normal in 2021, and we'll be able to film some more stuff. Heck yeah, brother. Thank you.
He's so good.
I don't know what they're going to do with this, but I'm going to watch it.
I'm going to
watch it. All right, but now after that, it's time for we visit the trailer park.
All right, y'all. One more time. It don't matter what you look like. It don't nobody gonna sing with me. Okay.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
There's something happening to me. There's something awakening in my mind. I can't control it.
What did you see?
There's a crusade coming.
Do you often dream things that happen just as you dream them?
Yes.
The test is simple. Remove your hand from the box, and you die.
What's in the box?
Pain. You inherit too much power. You have proven you can rule yourself. Now you must learn to rule others. Something none of your ancestors learned.
My father rules an entire planet.
He's losing it.
He's getting a richer one.
He'll lose that one too.
Ah, my boy!
Arrakis is a death trap.
Kill him.
This is an extermination. They're picking my family off one by one.
Let's fight like demons.
An animal caught in a trap will gnaw off its own leg to escape. What will you do?
I know you.
One day, the legend will be born. All of civilization depends on it.
The future, I can see it. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer.
My Lord Duke.
Where the fear is gone, only I will remain.
Go, go, go!
All right, now already watching it, you had a thought, and I was like, "Hang on, let me start recording." What's the thought?
Oh, that could be very good. That the story.
This was Dune, by the way. Did we mention Dune?
Dune. Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I have a hard time remembering all of the story of Dune. I watched the TV series of it
on Sci-Fi Channel,
but I didn't watch all of it. I just watched like a couple episodes, and I don't remember what had happened once I wasn't allowed to finish watching it. I don't remember if it was just I wasn't able to watch the rest of it for some reason. I only got to see a couple bits of it. And I saw the old show of the movie, but that was so long ago.
Yeah.
What had happened was when I first heard of it, I had got the Scholastic or whatever from school. Mm-hmm. Got the ordered the book of Supergirl. And some other...
Like the movie?
Yeah, the movie Supergirl.
Adaption? Wow.
And some other movie. And I don't remember what that other movie was. I think, it was Never Ending Story.
Oh.
It was Supergirl and it was Dune. I got those three books. The books of those movies.
But it was a short adaptation. It wasn't like the full Frank Herbert.
The full thing. Yeah,
the full Frank Herbert's a big book.
So I knew a bit of it, but I didn't know much. And the original movie wasn't... well received by
Haven't so far made any adaption that was really been well received, although the book is it's a science fiction highly regarded. And I remember listening to the audiobook.
There was even a toy line back
of course there movie. Was
and
everybody expects it to be big.
And I was gonna say it seems to me, because there's been such a huge fan following of the story, It seems interesting.
Even in other books, you know, Frank Herbert only, I think, wrote maybe two or three. And then I think his son wrote some. But now a bunch of people, they're like James Bond books now. Everybody's writing them.
And yet, it's somehow, as far as the dude, it seems interesting to me. And yet, at the same time, almost depressing in the sense it's all sand-like. But it is unique looking. And I really am interested because I have tried to look into the stories because it's unique looking.
Yeah, and this is it's been a long time since I listened to the audiobook of, like, I went through the first two books. I remember at least the first two, and a lot of it has to do with this planet. And they mentioned it in the trailer, and I can't think of the name of the planet. I'm not one of the big pros, and I enjoy the books. It was very interesting. It's a lot of political intrigue.
Yeah, I remember that.
It's very deep, but it's all about spice.
Spice is what I remember.
Spice is a huge valuable commodity.
That's what I remember the most.
Now, living on this planet, you almost have like this royal family that they're all protected from the effects of spice. But there's other this tribal thing, area group of people. And the spice kind of makes their eyes turn blue after being exposed because they're there. And they're the ones that are kind of mining it. And there's people trying to push for them to be in a war, and then other people trying to prevent it. You don't get a whole lot of story in this tease here. They're keeping it open because but Dune is so hard to translate.
Yeah.
Sort of like The Hobbit, I think, was hard to translate, and they messed it up. There's other things that they talk about. Never tried to adapt to this book. The book is fantastic, but trying to adapt it in a movie has never worked. This is one of the ones they've tried many times, and they never quite seem to get it. It might be better to do as a regular just television series. There's so much. But if this is like a good 3-hour epic, and maybe do a series of maybe two movies to try to contain the story, because there's a lot going on. So, I don't know. I'm not sure what the plan is with this, because this could be a franchise. And if done right, it is an intriguing story. And you've got a fan base already that's going to go. And this trailer, I think, was very interesting. And yeah, showing some of the cast is going to pull in. But I think it's very intriguing because it's very vague of what's going on. But people have heard of Dune. And even if they've never read it, I think it's enough. They're relying on the name for draw, and also the cast: Jason Momoa, Dave Bautista. For anyone who cares about Zendaya, she's in here. They've got some kind of unknown guy here playing your lead, which is interesting. Who else did we see?
I mean, if it's good enough, if it's a big enough film, and you at least have a lot of those names to help, this could be.
I can't think of the actor's name that was the young in Star Wars.
I can't either, The young man who's brand new, this could be something that could make him a big name.
It can make him a big name. Of course, it could also make it where he's known for this character for the rest of his life.
It could, but if he's good enough,
He's good enough, he's smart enough, doggone, people will like him.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Hey, I was even told by this coworker that she thought we were funny on the show.
There you go.
We realize we are funny. Even though we have dad jokes, I was also told, it's like, hey, you also have a lot of dad jokes. I said, I'm 43 years old. I can have dad jokes.
That's right. We can get
that's right. Anyways, I'm pretty excited for this. I want to go and check it out because I've read the book and I did enjoy the books. I don't remember a whole lot because it was years and years and years ago. I was probably still in my 20s. So it's been a long time ago, nearly 20 years ago since I listened to that audiobook. But it looks interesting, intriguing. But yeah, they didn't really give much away for story. I think it's just kind of a tease to kind of give you the feel, show some of the actors they've got in there to where people are going to be like, huh, I'm going to keep an eye on this one.
And all I
want to get back to a movie theater.
All
the driving was fun.
One thing about that Dune that I always remember is the big worm, right?
And getting to see that thing.
So what I can say is when I first saw Beetlejuice, I thought of
Dune. Totally. Sandworms, you hate them, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm running through them myself.
Here's the thing. I like you. I know your diagnosis complicates things, but I don't care.
Hey, me.
Do you like me?
Yes, I do.
Even though I don't have cancer?
Make your move, Romeo.
Most teenagers feel like they're invincible. Not the Superman kind of invincible. The kind of invincible that tricks you into thinking tomorrow might be a better day to start chasing your dreams.
I'm gonna throw up.
We've been through this, just breathe.
You are my best friend, so you are morally obligated to say nice things to me. Everybody else out there is not my best friend.
If everyone else doesn't like it, then they're idiots. And while there's a lot that I don't know at my age, what I do know is this. We all have limited time.
Tell me something you never told before I walk through the door. I adore you, I adore you.
I do.
How are you?
Off chemo.
Is it because it worked
or?
I do.
What you're facing is scary, but you get to decide what matters most now. Never
give up. Shut the front door. Are you writing a song?
Hello.
I was thinking it might be cool if we did something that was just ours.
Fix me up, my darling.
Zach, have you looked on YouTube?
You have 20,000 views.
You should be happy. I thought this is what you wanted. It
doesn't really matter what I want because it's not gonna happen.
It's not fair.
Stop! I have nothing to give you. No ring,
Zach.
No future, nothing.
Zach!
There's so much in there that the world needs to hear. What are you gonna do with it?
This is insane.
Just breathe.
And we'll go up, 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 but I'll fly a little higher.
Up, up, up.
Yeah, I'm Zach.
It's my favorite song.
In the end, I just want to make people happy.
I, Zachary Sobiak, am asking you.
Yes!
Please go to...
For as long as I can. Because what some people take for granted, others are fighting for. And believe me, I'm a fighter.
There we go. Okay, so October 16th, coming to Disney Plus, Clouds. They released a trailer this week. This is based off of a true story that I guess it comes around from a YouTube video, a song. Oh, look, there's actually popped up here on YouTube where we're looking 7 years ago. Clouds by Zach Sobiek. I guess that's how you say his name. I'm going to watch this music video here in a bit just because I'm curious now.
I've heard it before, is why I say it sounds very familiar.
I have never heard of it at all. But this, of course, you know, he's diagnosed with cancer, and there's a lot of nice things already said in that trailer. It's like, you know, there are people who take for granted the stuff that other people fight for. Mm-hmm. So learning, even when you have a limited time, learning that you've got a gift, you've got something special. God put you on this earth for a reason.
That's right.
And even if you're limited time, share what God gave you.
You have to fight to live.
There you go.
I know, believe me.
You've been through some crap.
Yeah, you got to fight hard. I recognize the guy who plays the father. I can't think of the actor's name at the moment. He's from That Thing You Do.
Okay.
And he was also, I can't think of it. What's the name of those movies about the kid? They made a couple of films. They even made a remake of it. I can't think of it.
Right. I don't know. I didn't recognize him.
Anyway, he's been on a few films, but he's a very good actor. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I didn't recognize really anybody in here, but this, it seems like partly a team romance, but there's a bit more going on because there's him and his best friend who write this song and perform it or whatever that's on a YouTube, and then eventually it just blew up, and I don't know anything about it. This. I'm not sure if unnecessarily I'm going to watch this because it seems very dramatic, but yet it also has that feel-good tone,
and
it's Disney, so there's going to be a feel-good.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm going to watch this or not, because I don't know how interested I am in it. I mean, the feel-good message sounds great. I like this trailer. But I don't know if I want to go through the drama of it, because, you know, having a grandfather died from cancer, going through some stuff with you, you know, I don't know. It feels like it hits a little close to home. If we'd ever sat on YouTube and made a song, but instead we're not on YouTube, we're here on a podcast doing stuff, but thank God you're not dying.
Well,
but we've been through some stuff with you. I've been on that friend half of stuff, you know, having to walk through a lot of scary stuff, and I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before. A lot of you probably don't know, but I mean, you even said earlier you've had like three or four surgeries,
seven
surgeries, but like three tumors,
three brain tumors, and seven brain surgeries. Yeah.
So well, we've been through some stuff, and right now you've even got an implant now that's going to be hopefully adjusted. We're working on getting rid of some seizures on him.
Yeah, that's right.
So because seizures from having so much stuff done to his poor brain, he's had seizures, and I think I've brought this up even for anyone who hasn't listened to my Jeff Barnes interviews for both of his books. By the way, go buy his books. Go look up the Jeff Barnes interviews that I've had on the show. He's even gone through some brain tumors, and even recently had another surgery for a second brain tumor. Jeff Barnes is awesome. I've gotten to meet him, got a photo with him. He's a very cool guy.
A warrior.
And he's got some great books. I've got this Wisdom of Vault and Beyond the Wisdom of Vault. And he has mentioned he's going to do that third one. So I'm waiting for that third book.
This is what I say. I'm borrowing this phrase from Disney. Okay? A little show that they used to have. It used to be at Epcot. It was one of my favorites. It's not there anymore. But I'm going to say this for anyone who's ever gone through any surgery, whether it be for brain tumor or any other kind of surgery on your head, you are a cranium commando.
There you go. Cranium Commandos.
I'm proud of you.
There you go. I'm super happy you're still with us. Amen. And you are listening to this show.
Amen.
I'm thankful to have you here. I am so glad you're here. Okay, I want to turn another quick corner because I want to do one real movie review and one This Is What I've Been Hearing review. So let's go.
There'll be spectacle, there'll be fantasy, there'll be daring do and stuff like you would never see.
Hey, a movie!
Yeah, we're gonna be a movie!
Starring everybody
and me.
Boy, I wish I were you people seeing this for the first time.
Kermit, I got a great picture of the chicken!
Oh, good!
Alright, first, I just because there's been a lot of talk on this and I want to get it out of the way... I have not watched the movie. I will not watch it until December if I watch it at all. Okay, so what you may have already heard about the live-action review, of course, the city that they filmed a lot of it in, and there's thank yous at the end of the movie thanking this city that is known to have, now I'm going to narrow it down and call it some serious human rights violations.
Hmm.
Basically concentration camps.
Oh.
And they've got Muslims, and I don't know what the other word is, but basically people who are not conforming to the China communist way of life. They will put them in the camp, and people have died in here. They have killed people. They have been working to try to get people convert to their way. So there's some serious human rights violations in this city. Why did Disney choose to film in this city? Mulan. This is a live-action Mulan. The other problem there's been is the lead actress, and I'm not sure what her name is, but she has had tweeted support for when in Hong Kong... Because Hong Kong for a while was under British control.
Yes.
Hong Kong is now under China control. People in Hong Kong are used to having their freedom, and their freedoms have been taken away.
That's right.
So Hong Kong had rose up some protests, and I don't know how well they went, but they were trying to go, and they were, you know, maybe the revolution's coming in Hong Kong. I don't know, but they were going for freedom. The lead actress in Mulan had expressed support for the brutality being used by whatever forces stopping the protests. And it was apparently very brutal. Now, the protests, apparently, I know they got kind of rough themselves, but they were probably, you know, they're trying to do a whole revolution. You're fighting for freedom. It gets crazy sometimes. And I don't know that I would quibble that to what's going on around here in the United States. I'm not going to compare. Okay. No. So let's just kill that right now. I'm not comparing that at all. But there was real brutality going on there, okay? Yeah. And she was in support of the brutality. Oh. Unfortunately, also, one of the guys, one of my favorite characters in Rogue One, I always have a hard time remembering his name.
I know you're talking
about. But you know what I'm talking about. I'm one with the Force and the Force is with me. Apparently that actor, he wasn't in support of the brutality. He hasn't said anything like that, but he is, you know, he's from China, so he supports China.
Of course.
And so I don't have as much problem, but some people have pointed that out as well. That being said... From a film standpoint, I did see, like, now Screen Rant, they're being funny. Screen Rant is the same ones they do, like, Honest Trailers. You know, they do a lot of funny stuff. They have another series called Pitch Meeting.
I never seen that.
Pitch Meeting, they'll go through and they'll take real stuff of the movie and throw it out like it's the pitch meeting and then criticize how dumb of an idea this really is when you think about it. And so one of the first thing they threw out is that, now the animated Mulan, she was not a warrior at first.
No.
She had to learn to fight. She learned to use her head, and she was smart. And because she outsmarted, when she fires that rocket to the mountain and everything, she realized she was more cunning. And she could fight, but she also used her smarts.
That's right.
That's what made her the hero, and that she was awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, this one, you have footage of Mulan now in this movie as a child, and she's already awesome. They joked in this, calling, oh, look, she was a born natural Jedi.
Now, I was going to say, it sounds an awful lot like...
Yes, like some other character we can mention. Now, people get offended if you refer to that character as, not Mary Jane, but I'm not going to say because I don't want to take people off. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are reasons why people say that. It's because if you have a character who's... Because, all right, let me go through some heroes that are, you know, even some people, you know, complain about overpowered characters. The most overpowered character of all time would be Superman because he can do it all. But he still had to learn how to be Superman.
Smallville.
Well, yeah, even... I'm talking even the 79 movie. He spends time learning to be Superman. And the biggest plot thing that happens, he messes up.
Yeah.
He messes up.
Not to mention.
And then he has to go and break the rules and change history to put right. Because he made mistakes.
Not to mention the fact that even in that film, 1978, 79, you know, came out December of 78.
What's the 78? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Well, December.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
When I'm in December, I'm talking like 2 weeks before the year was over. Whenever he did that, he was supposed to have gone into a pod, so to speak. He went away into the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah.
And he was gone for like a decade or so.
Yeah, he was gone for 10 years. He'd come back and he's 30 years old.
Yeah.
He had time to learn.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man, let's look at the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. Yeah. When he first gets his spider powers, what's the one first thing he does? Ah, smack!
Yeah, exactly.
Superheroes still have to learn to use their powers.
Yeah.
Iron Man, when he puts on his first suit and he's learning to fly, but before he even gets to fly, he wrecks his stuff and crashes. He flies up too high, he freezes. Superheroes are supposed to learn.
That's right.
I don't know what you were trying to whisper at me. I cannot read lips. Okay, but yeah. But a good superhero still has to learn to be the hero. Mulan apparently doesn't have that curve. She's just superpowered, and the rest of the world, she's put on this earth as the chosen one. That's the way they joke about it. But see, this is the problem I would have. I would not be able to get into this movie because I like to watch character growth.
Yeah.
Whoever, and even if you come in and you have powers, learning to use them makes your character grow and makes you interesting and makes you seem more human. If you just put a character in there, a male or a female, I don't give a rat's rear. You put them in there super strong and they never have to learn to use their stuff. I've lost interest, unless you have an excuse. Now, if we picked up this movie where we could have, oh, well, there's been some years. I guess maybe she's had some training. That would be fine. But when you have a child, we've seen it as a child. How does a child know how to do that?
Kind of the same problem I had also with Miss Marvel or whatever she was.
Captain Marvel.
That's the problem I had.
Well, at least her. You had this. She seemed to have had some sort of training.
Yeah. And I had somewhat of a problem, though, is that she was just so overpowered and cocky and everything.
Yeah.
Just...
She was overpowered, and the man was holding her back from being as overpowered as she's supposed to be. That was the message that I kind of got. I still enjoyed most of that movie, though. It was still pretty cool.
But
there are some problems with it.
A few things that I brought. Just a few things I thought they could have done.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
There was at least still some growth to her character.
Yeah.
So that still made Captain Marvel work. But no matter male or female, I don't care who you are,
same here.
Character growth.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to have someone who rises up to be a great hero, watching them grow into that character. And I'll give you a good example. A game other than the Star Wars Sims 4, I started playing Horizon Zero Dawn, which I've been hearing about for a long time. I've owned a copy since Christmas when I could get it for $5. The character, and this is the example, because, okay, great. We want to have some heroes that girls can relate to. Awesome. Now, this is a character.
Wonder Woman.
Get your daughter. Well, Wonder Woman, awesome, yes. But this is, if your girl likes to play some video games, get her this game. Because you start out, you're playing as a child, and you get to walk through her learning how to do the abilities. Because you have Horizon Zero Dawn, and it's a sci-fi game. It's in a far-flung future where there's animals that are machines. Machines wiped out, and the humanity is like tribal now. It's very interesting. Good sci-fi. I mean, I don't know how many centuries and, millennia in the future this is supposed to be. I can't remember if it's said. But you get to play, because you have to learn how to play the game. So you're walking around as a child as your main heroine. Learning to do stuff, you're learning when she learns. But once you've got enough of the basic game mechanics, they have this great story montage because she's got the goal to achieve. She wants to, by this certain time, become a great hunter. And you've got these great scenes of her learning how to become a great archer, learning how to go and do all these really awesome abilities. But you see in her mess up fall, then she gets it right. And then so you get to watch her become awesome. And any further growth, because I can level up the character, I get to watch as I grow and become a better player. She's going to become even a greater hero. If your daughter, you want your daughter to have some good heroines and she likes to play games, go get her this game so she can learn how, growing and grow strong, because it takes time. In real life, you can't do a Rocky training montage and become awesome.
Yeah, that's the
you got to go and put the work in.
Well,
and that's the message people need.
I was going to say, the thing is about montage is great for a movie. But it takes a long time. I can't wait to get back to the gym, but it took me over 2 years to lose 200 pounds. It took me about 2 years. I remember every day I would get to running. And in my mind, I would have it would be a montage moment, right?
Yeah. Times I've worked jobs that I wish I could montage through the
gym. I would run, and every day, I swear to you, every day I'd run for an hour and a half sometimes. And I remember, you probably shouldn't do that, by the way, about killing myself. But I remember running my mind. And my mind would be like, this is my moment. I did that for about 2 years or more, actually.
And you were listening to Rocky soundtracks.
Oh, yes. Not just that. Yes, and so many songs like that. I'd be going to go montage yeah. every day. My point is this, and I did actually run up the Rocky steps. My point is this. Whenever you do that, you will finally get there, but it didn't happen overnight.
You got to work at it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You keep pushing yourself. You'll get there.
Yeah.
But you have to be patient. You have to be patient.
And one thing, you know, in a cartoon, they could kind of get away with this.
Sure.
You know, she learns to fight enough, but when you stop and think about it, we don't get to see how long that training lasts. Because, you know, in order to make you to be as good a warrior as you need to be in this story, it takes more than a couple of months, you know. I mean, like the military, man, they got that's some rough training. Oh, they train you rough, and, you know, they make you tough. But to become, like, the superior warrior to everybody else, that takes even more time.
Basically, about 3 months.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. So, you know, keep that in mind, that people shouldn't come out as children in a movie being super awesome, but give them, like, at least 3 months of training. And that's one of the things, for all the people who didn't like Rise of Skywalker, I liked what I enjoyed it. I had fun. I mean, there's problems, sure. There's problems with all three of them. But I loved the fact that we got to see where Leia had been training with Luke, and we also got, hey, there's been a gap of time, and Leia has been training Rey.
Yes.
So, like, now I feel like I'm ready for Rey is ready to go.
This is about that movie.
I really need to move on, but go ahead.
Even though it wasn't perfect, at least you got to see there was a reason why, deep down, even within her genes, there was a reason why she didn't have some of that.
Well, at least the power level, but just because you have power doesn't mean you know how to use it.
No.
Once again, Superman.
I'm just talking power level.
Right. Having power is great. You can be super overpowered,
but
we want to watch you learn how to use those powers.
I just mean it makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. She needed to, because I don't mind her being super powerful. That's awesome. Yeah. But I wanted her to have learned it and not just in the first Force Awakens. That's where I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. She didn't even know a Jedi mind trick existed. How does she suddenly do it?
Yeah.
That's where I have problems. Being super powerful is one thing. Knowing how to use it is something else. I want to watch you learn. Now, some little bit of exception. Some people say, oh, we have tried to decide, like the Mandalorian. The child seems to know how to do stuff. The child is 50 years old. We don't know what that child has already learned somehow.
Yeah, he can't talk.
We don't know. He can't talk. But he's 50 years old. We don't know what that child has already been through and done.
Yeah.
No clue. So, moving on to a real movie review, because I watched this movie last night. The one and only Ivan. First thing I'm going to say, sit your kids down. This was aimed at kids. Very much so. This movie is adorable. It was super cute. It's based off a true story. And at the end of the credits, they'll tell you the true story that kind of inspired this story. So this story is pretty much a work of fiction. Because, well, heck, the animals are talking. And this has Danny DeVito, Angelina Jolie, a few other words. Danny DeVito, you know, there's a lot of things personally I don't like him, but I love his performances. And there's a lot of actors that way. I don't really like them, but I love their performance, and I will enjoy their performance, and I'll love them for that. So, and he plays this little dog character. But basically, it's the story of a gorilla. He's working in a strip mall as kind of a mini circus. Ivan, they introduce you, because Ivan, at the beginning of the movie, it's funny, he even kind of gets talking. He says, hi, I'm Ivan. Now, I'm super nice, you know, he's like, this is me, you know, this is me, and he's nice, like, I'm a nice guy, but, so don't let that fool you by that billboard out there, I'm fierce on the billboard out there? Not really like that, but watch what I do in the show, and like, the circus show, he's like the headliner, and his job is to come out and, you know, beat chess and be the scary gorilla, and he goes, I don't know why humans really like that, think I'm scary, because I'm not, which there's some truth in that, and they do kind of talk about, like, you know, there's Stella the elephant even says, like, well, we kind of be what the humans think we're supposed to be, and they're entertained by that. But it's like, but, you know, we're not really like what we think is. Yeah, a gorilla can be dangerous, but so can every wild animal. But gorillas, we've learned that they're very human-like, and we can be social even with them, kind of. They're very interesting, even silverbacks, that they will protect their group, just like every other wild animal, but that's what we're afraid of. It's like, okay, when they protect, they know they're 400 pounds of muscle. You know, so, but it's interesting. But the overall story is that, you know, this little circus in a strip mall, that there's an arcade and everything, is losing money and trying to bring in money. The guy from the Breaking Bad is the ringmaster and the owner.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of his name right now. Bryan Cranston, isn't it?
Yeah.
He brings in this little baby elephant named Ruby. Just an adorable, I don't know who the kid was, they got the voice her. But there's even some cute scenes because Ivan kind of knows, like, well, I'm the headliner. Oh, now this baby elephant's the headliner. And he's like, oh, the annoying kid wants to answer me questions. But the little elephant just loves Ivan. Just, oh, hi, Mr. Ivan. And just has always wanted to talk to him. And Ivan's always got this look on his face like, Okay. And then, well, this is all done live action, a lot of CG. I'm clearly a lot of CG animals. I don't know if they used any real animals. They look amazing, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they look amazing. But they've got very believable emotions. The animation is fantastic. But she's always asking questions. But the overall story is, and I don't want to spoil, but he goes on a mission to get Ruby to be free and realizes he kind of wants to be free himself. But see, there's this little girl. It's the daughter of this kind of basically, he's kind of like, almost like the roadie, except for they're not on the road. But he's like, does all the handy jobs, runs lights, cleans up the place and stuff, helps take care of the animals, that kind of thing. But the daughter gets some new crayons and gives Ivan her old crayons and some paper. And first, you know, he's like, well, golly, what am I going to draw? And he sees a beetle on there, and he kind of scribbles out a beetle. And the little girl recognizes, oh, you made a beetle! Even though the dog, who's Danny DeVito, who's a stray, who just hangs out in his cage with him, and it's just like, basically because when Ivan goes to sleep, he's super comfortable to sleep on top of his belly. So that's why Danny DeVito, the dog, who gets named Bob by the little girl, which is funny, because he's like, Bob? Why do humans have to name everything? You know, because he's a stray, he doesn't like humans. You got a really good side. It's like, well, Costello always says, humans can be nice. We got to remember, humans can be nice. I mean, they sometimes they do wrong things, but so do we. And the dog's like, oh, I just hate humans. That's why I'm a stray. I don't want to be, some human make a pet of me. Or no way, you know. That, of course, that changes. There's a character growth. But the little girl can recognize the stuff, but it kind of encourages him to draw. And as we slowly get to know Ivan and his past, we find out that when he was a baby gorilla, he grew up with the guy who's the ringmaster. And he took care of him. And that ringmaster, Bryan Cranston, his character, Mac, loves him. That's like his son. So you see there's a real relationship, and we can feel that. Him and Ivan are like buddies. And that's kind of important, but we can basically, at one point, Ivan, we'll just say he's trying to help Ruby become free, but he realizes he was once free. When they tell like the true story of the real Ivan, poachers, and we kind of get a hint of that, poachers had come into his area, and he survived the poachers. He was rescued from the poachers as a baby, and the real Ivan had grown up with the family before actually doing a show in a strip mall as well. So that's kind of where they got this, but he remembers when he was a baby gorilla that he would take mud and he would kind of try to make his own little pictures. So when the little girl gives him some finger paints, now he knows how to draw with that. Because it's just like when he did mud when he was a baby gorilla. And he makes this, well, I don't want to tell anything, although it's in the trailer. But he makes a picture, we'll just say, and it changes the dynamic. It was a wonderful, cute movie. It captured some good days of magic. Is it a great film? No, but you'll have a fun time. And I really think your kids are going to enjoy it, maybe more than you, because my one criticism would be is that we don't get enough resolution to some of the stuff going on with the humans. Because Mac, at the end, he's losing his business at the end. Everybody's losing their jobs at the end. I'm sorry for that. Might be a bit of a spoiler. When things happen, you wonder about people's jobs. And you find out one character early on, you find out that like the little girl's mother, the wife of the guy who's like does all the odd jobs, is deathly ill of something. But you never hear what happens with that. We get all the human stories, and we as humans, we want to hear the resolution of that. You won't get that. But there are really great stories with the animals. And I think if you sat down with your kids, you're all going to have a great time. I think your kids are going to love it. And I think you're going to be charmed by it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was beautiful. It was charming. It was funny. That was one of the best of live action Disney films I've seen in a long time, because they've put out some stuff that's been kind of eh. This one was not a eh. This was a I'm charmed.
Yeah.
This was a good, just fun, pleasant Disney feel good movie. There's not even a dark chapter two really to it. I mean, almost. I mean, you get to say, well, things aren't quite going the way we want, but it never really reaches that like that dark chapter two, second act part. It just feels good the whole time. So, two thumbs up for me that I think, you know, it might be, will not be an Oscar-worthy type of film other than the great computer animation on the animals.
I'll have to watch it.
But, yeah, you're going to enjoy it. You're going to have a good time. It's going to make you smile. Might even make you cry at one point, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. It's a very good, heartfelt, charming, wonderful movie, and I definitely recommend it. But we better wrap this puppy up. Mm-hmm. Wrap it up in a mummy suit, because we're getting close to October. And take that dog out trick-or-treating, because I hope you're going to let him trick-or-treat this year.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPcast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello, everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.